A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love you have demonstrated for his name by having served and continuing to serve the holy ones. We earnestly desire each of you to demonstrate the same eagerness for the fulfillment of hope until the end, so that you may not become sluggish, but imitators of those who, through faith and patience, are inheriting the promises. When God made the promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself and said, "I will indeed bless you and multiply you." And so, after patient waiting, Abraham obtained the promise. Now men swear by someone greater than themselves. For them, an oath serves as a guarantee and puts an end to all argument. So when God wanted to give the heirs of his promise an even clearer demonstration of the immutability of his purpose, he intervened by an oath, so that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge might be strongly encouraged to hold fast to the hope that lies before us. This we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and firm, which reaches into the interior behind the veil, where Jesus has entered on our behalf as forerunner, becoming high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.
Verbum Domini.
The Lord will remember his covenant forever.
The Lord will remember his covenant forever.
I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, in the company and assembly of the just. Great are the works of the Lord, exquisite in all their delights.
The Lord will remember his covenant forever.
He has won renown for his wondrous deeds. Gracious and merciful is the Lord. He has given food to those who fear him. He will forever be mindful of his covenant.
The Lord will remember his covenant.
He has sent deliverance to his people. He has ratified his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. His praise endures forever.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum. As Jesus was passing through a field of grain on the Sabbath, his disciples began to make a path while picking the heads of grain. At this, the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions were hungry, how he went into the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of offering that only the priest could lawfully eat and shared it with his companions. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That is why the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Verbum Domini. What did you want to be when you were growing up as a child? Did adults ever ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? My relatives used to laugh when they asked me as a little boy, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I responded, a bachelor carpenter. And the reason for that was because I admired my godfather, who never married, Dick, and we were always close throughout our lives. And he was a bachelor, he never married, but he was also a carpenter. And we even worked on some woodworking projects together. And in a way, that really came to be, right? Because I'm celibate, I'm named after a carpenter, and I follow a carpenter, Jesus and Joseph. But sometimes, you know, in our lives, and we have certain desires, we have certain hopes for things to be realized. You have hopes for your children. You want them to do well. You want them to prosper. But we know that sometimes those hopes on this earth, these little hopes, don't always get realized. And sometimes they get disappointed. And sometimes there's tragedies that happen. But we know that the hope, the great hope that we have in God in everlasting life, God who keeps his promises, is never going to be disappointed. And that's what we hold on to. That's what our scriptures speak about. That's what this Jubilee year, the central theme is about hope. And the passage that Pope Francis chose for this Jubilee year, you know, this goes back, as he mentions in the Bull of Indiction, this goes back to 1300 AD. It's a very ancient tradition every 25 years to have a special Jubilee year proclaimed by the Pope, a time of grace, a time of blessing, a time of forgiveness. And what is the passage that he chose for this Jubilee year? Romans 5:5. Spes non confundit. Hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint, our great hope that we have in God. And that's what we see in this martyr, Saint Agnes of Rome, remarkable. And today's office of reading very poetically said, because she's just 12 years old when she's martyred, that she wasn't old enough legally to give testimony in human affairs, St. Ambrose said. She wasn't old enough to give testimony in a court of law. She's just 12 years old. But she gives testimony to God. And she gives a supreme testimony to God. She's a martyr. And Pope Francis mentions that this is the greatest confirmation of our hope. The martyrs who could sacrifice this life because of the great hope that is ours in eternal life. It's one of the reasons I'm wearing, you know, the cross here, and also, of course, the color red, because she is a martyr, a word that means witness. She bears witness in the most profound way in giving her life and bearing testimony to God, refusing to offer sacrifice to false gods. And because of that, she'd be martyred. And at today's entrance antiphon that we sang, we heard this: "Behold, she now follows the Lamb who was crucified for us." She follows the Lamb. You know, the word Agnes is often understood as lamb. So we sing Agnus Dei, Agnus, Lamb, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. And so Agnes is often depicted holding a lamb. But it also points to her innocence, her purity, her holiness, but also, like the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, she follows him. And that comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 14. So in the book of Revelation, you have chapter 12, where you see this woman who is crowned with 12 stars, and she gives birth to a child who's going to rule the nations with an iron rod. Well, that's a direct quote from Psalm 2, a messianic psalm. In other words, the one she will give birth to is the Messiah. Well, of course, this is Our Lady depicted, that Saint John has this vision. He sees the ark in the temple, but then he sees this woman clothed with the sun. She's the new ark who gives birth to the Messiah, to Christ. And then a war breaks out in heaven. Michael and his angels battle against the dragon and his angels. And then chapter 13, you have these horrible beasts that bring such suffering. And chapter 13 concludes with the number of the beast is 666. But then chapter 14 begins now with this whole new vision where John sees this lamb on Mount Zion. And around him are the 144,000. They're singing a new song. They're the first fruits. And really, this means an unlimited number, 12 tribes of Israel times 12 apostles times a great number, 1,000. They're singing a new song. And it says that they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. This was Agnes. So here she has these little hopes I'm sure she had for her life. She's 12 years old. She's thinking about, you know, what her future might be, what her hopes are for her future. But she's willing to sacrifice all of those because of the great hope she has in God. And Ambrose so poetically puts that in today's Office of Readings, if you have an opportunity to read it, how the executioner's trembling. But she's undaunted in her fidelity to the Lord. She follows him wherever he goes, even to the cross. Why? Because she has one life on this earth, and she's willing to sacrifice that. I heard one time this man who was hiding Jews during the time of the Nazis, and he said, "They can only kill me once." They can only kill me once because I have eternal life in Christ. That's what Agnes said. And so let's look at some of the words of our scriptures today from the letter to the Hebrews. So I wanted to conclude, you know, in chapter 14, how we see the Lamb, we see this 144,000 singing a new song. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And then further down in 14, it says, John hears a voice. "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord henceforth." And the Spirit responds, "Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." Now think about that in relation to the first words we heard in the letter to the Hebrews today. Brothers and sisters, God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love you have demonstrated for his name by having served and continuing to serve the holy ones. And he says, continue this to the end. Persevere in this to the end. Through faith and patience, inheriting the promises. And then he uses Abraham as an example. After patient waiting, he obtained the promise. Pope Francis talks a lot about patience and how we live in a world that cultivates impatience. We want everything now. And the internet says, you know, gives us everything now. We can order this, we can do that, we can get this information. And we lose the sense and the ability really to be patient and to wait. And that we need to have this awe at God's creation renewed within us, like Francis did, St. Francis. And we see the cycle of the seasons. We see animals and just how things, you know, go with the animals. And we learn patience as we're waiting from one season to another, as we're planting crops or harvesting crops. And through that, it cultivates patience. We need patience to do God's will. Patience is a component of hope. And we can be patient because our great hope will not be disappointed. Our hope will not be disappointed. That great hope that we have in God. And that's why we can be patient in the sufferings and trials and difficulties of this life. So we earnestly desire, the letter to the Hebrews says, each of you to demonstrate the same eagerness for the fulfillment of hope until the end. Through faith and patience that you may inherit the promises. And he says it was impossible for God to lie. Hold fast to the hope that lies before us. This we have as an anchor of the soul. You often see hope depicted as an anchor. That comes from the letter to the Hebrews. Hold fast to the hope that lies before us. This we have as an anchor of hope, an anchor of the soul, sure and firm, which reaches into the interior veil where Jesus has entered. So, you know, when I would travel home, and my father and I, we would love to go fishing on the Mississippi River, and Dad knew where the fish were. So it was always a pleasure to go with him. Well, on the Mississippi River, there's a lot of water. And we would go in the backwaters, but there's still a lot of current there. But he knew where to put down that anchor. Cast your line over there, he would say. We would always come home with a lot of fish. But that anchor would hold that boat, that little flat bottom boat we had, in the waves and the current that we were experiencing. And so we have an anchor. It's not cast down in the bottom of a riverbed, but up to heaven where Christ has entered beyond the veil. That's the anchor of our soul. And it's sure and it's firm in the waves and the tumults of this world that wants to carry us along to destruction. We have this anchor of hope in Jesus who's gone before us. We're holding on to that anchor, that sure and firm anchor of the soul. Letter to the Ephesians is quoted in our Alleluia verse that we had today. May the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ enlighten the eyes of our hearts, that we may know what is the hope that belongs to our call. Is your heart enlightened? Do you see what is our hope? Our call as Christians and the great hope that we have that will never be disappointed, ever. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Pope Francis quotes this twice in that bull of the Jubilee year. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? No one, nothing. That's what Agnes understood. So are your eyes, the eyes of your heart, enlightened to be able to see that? That truth? Yes, the little hopes of this life sometimes get disappointed. There are sufferings and troubles that we all experience. But that great hope will never be disappointed. God keeps his promises. It's impossible for God to lie, the letter to the Hebrews says. And the last word is from our gospel today. The Sabbath was made for man. You know, when we observe the Lord's Day, Sunday, as the Lord's Day and keep it holy, what we're saying is that it all doesn't depend on me. It depends on you, God. And if I offer you worship and thanksgiving, and I spend this day of rest with you and with my loved ones, I know that you'll provide. And I conclude with a beautiful quote from Mother Agnes of Jesus, who was the sister of Saint Therese. So her oldest sister, Pauline, after Therese's own mother died, Pauline became a second mother to her, but then Pauline enters a Carmelite monastery. Therese would later follow her. And you hear in Pauline, Sister Agnes of Jesus, or Mother Agnes of Jesus' words, the spirituality of Therese. And it's a beautiful thing for us to contemplate in the what the Magnificat has as our meditation today, the last paragraph. Here's what she said. Our daily work is simply to climb the steep road that leads from earth to heaven. Smile and be kind to everyone. Sanctity is simply to carry out God's will perfectly, minute by minute. And what is God's will for us? God wants us at this present moment to be meek, humble, patient, charitable, and courageous. He wants our courage to be tempered with distrust of our own ability to bear the weight of life and our own wretchedness, with the almost audacious confidence in his mercy, because he is our Father, and we live like dearly loved children in the shadow of his wings, the shadow of faith, seeing nothing but warmed by his love, the shadow of his wings. So just like a hen covers her chicks, they can't see, but they're warmed by the love. And so Mother Agnes says, that's what, we're under the shadow of his wings. We see by faith, we don't really see clearly, but we do see, but we're warmed by his love. We can have this, as she said, almost audacious confidence in his mercy.